Jesus. Very good. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a new unction on Mrs. Oluwadare. Huh? We agree. Yes. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. And good to see Flex on the drums. Haven't you missed Flex on the drums? Even Flex has missed the drums. I mean, the thing was entering his body differently. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate the children's church also as they go, and their teachers and the children. Is that how you appreciate people? Wow. You know, church people are supposed to be the nicest people on earth. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song I've been having because they want me to sing. That's why they haven't left. So there's a song I've been singing the last few days, and it's one of my dad's favorites when he wakes us up in the morning. Baba eshe eku itoju mi, Yesu eshe eku itoju mi,
Iba ma she pe mori Yesu ni Baba. Imba ma she pe mori Yesu ni Baba. Ogu aye imba mori mi.
Eshe o
Baba, eshe eku itoju mi.
Eshe o
Baba, eshe eku itoju mi. Imba ma she pe.
Thank you for your covering. Thank you for being there always. Thank you for being my Father, our Father. Thank you also for this time. Thank you for your word. Your word is so priceless, invaluable. We appreciate your word. And at this time, thank you, because you speak to us yet again from your word. You speak to us collectively, but again, miraculously, you speak to us individually. You speak to those who are online. You speak to those who are listening later. And you confirm even your words with signs following in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, if you will. I want to talk about walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking in the fear of God. Walking in the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read a few scriptures. Walking in the fear of God. Look at your neighbor this morning. Says you need to walk in the fear of God always. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Meaning basically, if you put it together, is telling us that fools are the ones that don't consider the fear of the Lord to be anything. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I read that also in the New Living Translation. And it says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, meaning that you might have knowledge, you might have degrees even behind your name like a thermometer, And you might have all kinds of titles. You know, I went to Gambia some years ago, and it was their former president that was there. And you still remember his name. They would call him Alhaji, Professor, Doctor, Chief, Kalaba Yaya Jammeh. And he had so many titles in front of the name. And I said, what kind of thing is this one? They said, no, if you have to address him, you must call everything. If you don't call everything, you're in trouble. So if you're a newscaster, each time you mention His Excellency, Alhaji, Professor, Doctor, General, High Chief, Jammeh. So, but God says that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. Okay, so if you have whatever you have, whatever degrees, how much school you went to, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you really don't know Jack. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now go to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. And we'll read verses 6 to 8. God is speaking here, Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And God says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if you say that I'm a master, where is my reverence? That's the word you find translated fear many times. It says, and if it is that I'm a master, where is my fear? So we're talking about, when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about the reverence of God. Okay, so if I'm a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you, priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you or made you common? That word defiled means to make you common, to make you like any other person and all of us. So it says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That is, there's no big deal to the table of the Lord. It says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. So we're talking about reverencing God. You know, and it's one of the things, actually, part of another message that I felt God was laying on my heart sometime a few weeks ago, where he was talking to me about how we create an atmosphere for miracles. You know, how we create an atmosphere for miracles. Because very often we think that everything that happens to us and for us is actually just dependent upon God, but it's not. It's dependent upon what we do, the atmosphere that we create. Now, we can take that out of the church as well and realize that what happens with us, through us, to us, oftentimes has to do with the atmosphere that we create around us. Can I have an amen? And for many people, we do not understand, or let me say that even the church is losing the fear of God, which is the reverence of God. Now, hear me. The fear of God is not the same thing as salvation. Okay? So when we talk about walking in the fear of God, it's not the same thing as being saved. Being saved is a one-time event. You give your life to Christ, you are saved. But walking in the fear of God is how you conduct yourself generally all of the time. The reality of the fact that now you belong to God, you don't belong to yourself. The reality that, look, there is a God who is watching you and to whom you must give account. That's what we're talking about when we say the fear of God. Now, that fear of God is what seems to have departed from most believers today. Are you with me? A friend was telling me a story. I'll share disagreement with somebody. And the person decided, you know, the typical way we do things, the person decided to use the police to harass her. And so the person went, got the police to reported to the police. The police invited her, Pastor Divine. He's one of, so the police invited her to come to the station. Unknown to them, she knew the IG of police. So she didn't say anything. She told the IG, and the IG said, don't go. You know, I'll sort it out. She said, no, I'm going to go there. You know, it's a civil problem, blah, blah, blah. Let me go there. Let me try to follow normal protocol and see. You know, and then she got to the place. The representative of the other person was there and all that. You know, she came in, introduced herself, and lady began to talk to her, you know, and all that. She said, look, madam, what's your problem? This is a civil case. Why am I here? You know, why are you harassing me with something that we should settle, you know, between ourselves? It's not a criminal thing or anything. This is a disagreement between us. Why did you invite me here? And she said, shut up! I'm talking to you, blah, blah, blah. I will deal with you. I will lock you up. She kept quiet. She didn't say anything. And then she will repeat herself, madam, this thing you are doing is not right. It's against the law, blah, blah. He said, the lady will shout at her. Then she kept quiet. She didn't say anything. And then that one decided eventually to go call her boss and take them to her boss. So she took them to her boss. And while they were there and they were being delayed and time was lingering, the IG called her himself because he knew when she was going there. So the IG called. And called her and said, well, so you are there. He said, yes, blah, blah. They kept me here, been here for about 2 hours. The IG said, give the phone to them. So they gave the phone to the boss. You know, she was telling me, so I was really in laughter. She said she just gave the phone to the boss and said, the IG wants to speak to you. Then, he said, and then the guy took the phone. And that he said, she said, doctor, you won't believe it. That guy was saluting. He said the guy was saluting. Yes, sir. No, sir. I told them already. I already told the woman. I told her that she this is a civil case. Hey, no, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ah, she said she was watching. She was, that this man was saluting the man that she, he can't even see, and the man can't see him. That's the fear of the IG. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God says, where is my own fear? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is asking us, where is our own fear? We do things very nonchalantly, but God is calling us back to a way of living where we reverence God. Are you with me, anybody, this morning? I mean, as it stands, there are even unbelievers who fear God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why I say it's not the same thing as salvation. There are unsaved people who fear God. Now, if you look at, before we get there, if you look at Malachi chapter 1 that we read, God said, look, you now say to me, what do you mean that by the fact that we don't fear you? And God said, look, what you are offering to your governor, I mean, what you are offering to me, offer it to your governor and see whether it's going to please him. You know what that means for me? When I read that all of the time, what it says to me is that everything that I offer to God through my life and in service, I ask myself, can I do it in the secular? And it will be acceptable. Are you there? You know, in this case, he's talking about their offering. And what he was talking about, the blind and all of that, is that these are the things that nobody wants. He said it's the leftover that nobody wants, the blind of your flock and all that. That's what you come to offer to me as a sacrifice. Now, the things that nobody will accept from us, we offer it to God. Are you with me? We offer to God lateness. Okay, look at your neighbor. Say, I know he's not talking about you. Are you still there? You know how many people are late to work? You are late to work. How many people here? You go late to work. Eh? Sometimes. But how many people are late to church? Sometimes will be early to church. You understand? They are early to church sometimes, but we're late to church always. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I didn't say God said it in Malachi chapter 1. He said, what you are offering to me, can you offer it to the people around you and they'll be pleased with you? I mean, I've been to Aso Rock twice. The last time we went with this president, I think it was a 10 o'clock appointment. And I went with a group of people. I was the one in touch with them. And I was, you know, talking to the protocol guy there. And he says, look, don't worry, doctor, blah, blah, blah. You'll come at this time. I told him which vehicles we're using and all that so that they give all the clearance. Now, the people that I was going with at 9:15 were asking me, are we not going? Are we not going now? Well, we should be moving. We should move. We can't be late. We can't be late. We can't be late. I said, calm down. There's no way you enter the place without them allowing you in. I said, I'm in touch with them. And then they'll come again 5 minutes later. They say, hey, when are we going? We can't afford to be late. That's to say, human being. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The U.S. Embassy will ask people to come at 6 a.m. Huh? And the people make it there. Can you believe that? They get to the U.S. Embassy appointment of 6 a.m. They don't tell them that, do you know where I live? My house is far now. How can you ask me to come at 6 a.m.? Then they will arrive at 7:30 and say, because my house is far. Are you still here? Am I still your friend? So we need to ask ourselves the things we do. You see, that reverence is gone. It's not there. One day we were late to church, and you know, as we were walking, I just tapped my family. I said, come on, run, don't you? There's a way you move. You understand? There's a way you move when you are late. You can't move this way. Yeah, you can be late sometimes, like you said. But there's a way you move that shows that there's something wrong. How many people went to school? If you are late, they deal with you. You went to a school where they would deal with you if you're actually late. And you know the way you move. One day there was a project that I was in touch with, this Chinese group. And I was supposed to help them find students, you know, to attend this scientific thing there. So there's an organization here that I was on their board. So I just contacted them and I said, look, you deal with schools and scientific projects, just select the people, you know, and go. And I just wrote email introducing them. So they picked up some schools. And at that time, my kids had just entered the Catholic secondary schools. So one day they said, well, they were communicating with this school, one of those schools where my daughter was, that they were communicating with the school, and they were not very responsive, that they wanted to go there, you know, and clear things up with the school leadership. So when they mentioned the school, I said, please, let me go with you, because I wanted to use that opportunity to see if I could see my daughter. So I said, please, let me go with you. So I went with them, and these two young ladies came, picked me up from my office. So I followed them, you know, and they were talking. And then when we got to the place, they just shrunk. These two ladies became very timid. And the vice principal that was talking to them, Reverend Sister, you know, was a bit brash. So me, I just sat in one corner and I was looking at them. I was looking at everything, and I thought, what is this? What's going on here? You know, so when they finished and the lady answers them anyhow, so I said, Sister, I'm sorry, but it looks like we have offended you before. You know, I find this very strange, you know, and then she caught herself. And she became very nice and all of that. But when we left the place, I didn't ask the lady, I said, what happened to you? They said, we went to Catholic school. They said, the fear of Sister is inside us. That when we see Sister like this, they have driven that fear into us. They said, it's still there, it's still in us. We have graduated since, but it's still inside us. Are you with me, anybody? Where is the fear of the Lord? You know, even in worship, we're doing what do you call it? Selfies. Selfies. I see it all the time. I see people posting selfies in worship. And I think, who are they worshiping? Themselves. Abby, is it you I'm talking about? Oh, you didn't answer me now. When you are worshiping and you are turning the camera on yourself, who is being worshipped? You are the Adonai. Are you still there? No, these are the practicalities of what God is saying. You know, when you sit with such dignitaries, I've been in some meetings with some people, you know. In fact, when you even get to Asorok, they collect your phone. Yes, they collect your phone. You can't sit in front of a president and your president tapping the phone and you do like this. One DSS guy will smack you from behind. So if you like, sneak one phone inside and try it. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? God says, where's my reverence? Where's my fear? It's one of the reasons why we're not seeing the things we should see as we should. It's one of the reasons why we're not seeing the move of God like we ought. And if we are desirous of that move of God, we ought to become very reverential in our dealings with God. I tell you what, and I'm not saying this one to, you know, condemn anybody, whatever you do to stay awake. I tell you what, I couldn't even chew gum in private prayer. You understand? Because I was brought up in the sense of saying that when you chew gum, it's rude. That's the way I was brought up. How many people were taught that kind of thing? That when somebody is talking to you, that's the way I was taught. So when I began to wake up to have my quiet time with God, I couldn't chew gum. That's just me. You understand? I understand that sometimes somebody even who has worked all night comes to church and is struggling to stay awake and is chewing gum to stay awake. I understand that. I'm just telling you about a mentality. I'm not giving you rules right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about a mental attitude where you are doing something. I'm not saying these are the 10 things you cannot do in church. No, that's not what I'm saying today. I'm saying to you that there might be 20 things you can't do in church, but they reflect your heart, your mindset. And largely, they are because of you. Colossians chapter 2, I believe it is verse 20, or is it Galatians 2, 20? It talks about the fact that when you are saved, you don't follow the rules. Do not die. Is that those things have a form of piety, or they have an appearance of religious piety, or it looks good religiously. He said, but they don't really help or save the soul. So we are not talking about rules. I'm just talking about the fact that we need to think about the things we do. And but if it's a selfie, and you think about what is behind the selfie, it tells you right away, but it's because I don't actually appreciate the fact that God is here. Are you with me? You know, many years ago, I went to a meeting, because you might think, oh, it's because it's a pastor. But in fact, in many meetings, what do they tell you now? Please switch off your phone. Or put it to silent, or put it to do not disturb. I mean, that's just a meeting of human beings. Then God Almighty sits with you to have a meeting. And we're on Facebook. Are you there? I mean, so there are just certain things you will not do when you have the fear of God. Let me take you through a few scriptures, because I'm not sure we can really end all of this today. You know, so like I said to you, even those who are not saved sometimes have that fear of God. Go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. So in Exodus chapter 9, this is talking about Moses. Well, let's start from Exodus chapter 1, actually. Let's look at another story there. Exodus chapter 1, for those who may not know the story of Moses, the Israelites were captive, or rather, they were now in Egypt. Haven't been in Egypt because Joseph was prime minister, as we tend to say it, and then he moved all his people there. But then Exodus chapter 1 says, there arose a king that didn't know Joseph. So Joseph had died. His people were now living in Egypt. And then a king got on the throne who didn't understand history. He had no clue what history was about and how come these people are here. And so the man decided, and he said to himself, look, these guys are becoming many, and they are stronger than we are. We better put them in submission. We better put them in slavery. Otherwise, they will overwhelm us. And so he began to ill-treat them. And then he also then told all the midwives in the place. And he said, you know what you will do? Every time a Hebrew woman is about to have children, if it's a boy, as soon as you are delivering and you see it's a boy, kill the child. They said, but if it's a girl, spare the child. But every time you are called to take delivery of a child and it's a Hebrew woman, if it's a boy, kill that child. But then the Hebrew women, so that's what we're reading about now. Exodus chapter 1. Look at Exodus 1 verse 17. Are you there? The Bible says, but the midwives, they feared God. Can I hear you say they feared God? And they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So what was driving their action was that they feared God. So they didn't obey their king. They said, no, we fear God. We cannot do this thing that the king is saying. We can't kill these children. And so they saved the children alive. Now look at verse 19. And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are alive. Because Pharaoh was saying, how come these boys are being born and they are not dead? You are not killing them. And then they said, look, before we get there, they are lively and they give birth before the midwives come to them. I think Pastor NY has spoken about a misconception there before. Okay? So, but verse 21, hear this. The Bible says, and so it was, because the midwives fear God, that he provided households for them. One says he gave them their own families. That is, they had their husbands, they had their children, and all of that. Things were well with them and their own families. Why? Because they feared God. They were not still Hebrews. They were not still saved, but they feared God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So some are unsaved, but they fear God. And because they feared God, like these Hebrew men, God blessed them still. So there are certain people that walk in certain realms of blessing that are not saved, and you wonder, how come this person is like this? But the person fears God. Are you still with me? Now go to Exodus chapter 9. Of course, the ultimate is when you are saved and you fear God, there are blessings that will follow you. Exodus chapter 9, verse 20. Now, Exodus chapter 9, basically, what we are reading is the seventh plague. So this was when Moses had gone back to help deliver the children of Israel. Okay, he had gone to deliver the children of Israel from the hands of Pharaoh. And then God did many signs, you know, to the Egyptians. They had frogs overwhelm the land. They had lice. They had locusts. They had all sorts. So several things happened. And each time Pharaoh would say, okay, I'm sorry. I'll let them go. And then God will clear the plague. And then he would change his mind. And then Moses would proclaim something else. And this was the seventh time. And Moses came and he said to him, he said, well, you are still stubborn. This is what God says. God says that tomorrow there's going to be hail. That is, there'll be fire, basically. Hail is like when you get coals of fire. You know, God says there'll be hail tomorrow, and all the flock and all the people that are outside are going to die. Now, there wasn't going to be hail where the children of Israel were, but he said, look, there's going to be hail in the land of Egypt, and everything outside is going to die. Everything. And then look at verse 20. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Did you get that? So some people among the servants of Pharaoh say, that God na real. And since they have warned us ahead of time, we better obey. You know, anything God says, we better obey. Are you hearing me? You know, as they will say, they say that Ogun Asotele Keparos, okay? That is that if you proclaim a war ahead of time, even the crippled man should not die. Because he should have crawled his way away from where that war is going to be. So these guys heard, and they ensured that they obeyed. But some of them just said, no, it's God. And then they suffered for it. Are you still there? So if you fear God and obey God and live as God says, simply because you fear him, there are some benefits that come your way. And some people that are not saved have a degree of a fear of God. That when you say something, I remember Jesse Duplantis telling the story. But you know, one year, everything was going wrong in the stock market. And the bankers were advising him. They said, sir, you need to sell this stock. You need to sell that share. You need to do this one. And, you know, get rid of this and that. And he told them, he said, leave everything alone. I do only what God tells me to do. He said, I'll pray about it all. And when he prayed, and he called them, and he told them, you see this one sell. You see that one buy more. See this one do this. See this one do that. And he said, no. What you are saying is not correct. According to all the, you know, statistics that we can see, we are the economists. We are the bankers. We are telling you to do this and do this. And the man said, no. Just, it's my money. He said, do exactly what I tell you. And when they did what he told them, he made more money. And he said he was the only client they had that made more money that year. So at the end of the year, Christmas, they brought him a big basket to his house. He said, and they said, we just want to thank you that you are the only one who made money out of all our clients. And he said, and by the way, Reverend, next time when God tells you what to do, please tell us. You know, next time God speaks to you about these things, let us know. Because we are now ready to listen to God. Because the fear of God now has come upon us. Are you with me? Ananias and Sapphira, in Acts chapter 5, they didn't have the fear of God. They were saved, but they didn't have the fear of God. From Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that people were selling all they had and they were bringing it and giving it to church, and it was being distributed such that there was no lack. Everybody had, and there was no lack. So Acts chapter 5 then began. The Bible says, Ananias and Sapphira therefore also decided that they would also go and give. So they were doing a religious thing. In fact, they were in religious competition. Who is going to be the biggest giver of this church? Hallelujah. And they saw everybody giving. So they also decided which will we give. But they could not really give like that. So they sold what they had and they kept back part of it. Every time you read that story, please realize that God wasn't angry that they kept back part of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God was not upset that they kept. No. God is okay. You can keep what you want to keep and give what you want to give. God is okay with it. In fact, it says that there is he that withholds more than is necessary. There is he that scatters yet increases. And there is he that gives more than is necessary. And it tends to. There is he that withholds more than is necessary. And it tends to poverty. What's he talking about? The fact that he says there is he that withholds more than is necessary means that there is a necessary part to withhold. Are you with me? So God wasn't angry that they withheld anything. God was angry that they withheld something and yet they came to church and claimed that they gave everything. We have given our all, Pastor. You know, just like everybody else, we too, we are very submitted to God and we have given everything. We sold that property and we have brought everything to the Lord. And Pastor Peter said, are you sure? Man said, yes. He said, are you sure you gave everything? He said, yes. And Pastor Peter said, this is the real problem. He said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to God, to lie to the Holy Ghost? So the real issue is that you lie to the Holy Ghost. And why were they lying? Because they too wanted to do what everybody else was doing. Are you still with me? But no fear of God. Because they didn't realize that what was being done for God. Are you with me? We're not doing it for competition. It's not being done because everybody else is doing it. And there are all kinds of people from the pulpit to the pew and things that are being done even in churches that people are doing just because of competition. This is how we do it now. This is how to do the job. This is how to do church. This is how to do the music. This is how to do this. This is how to do that. And we are not doing things from our heart, a heart of reverence for God. Are you there? And so once Pastor Peter said, well, why has Satan filled your heart? Why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? The man fell down and died. And then about 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came. Praising the Lord, always say, praising the Lord, hallelujah. You know, and then she sang and came into the church. And then Pastor Peter saw and said, tell me, did you sell that property for such and such an amount? She said, yes. He said, so you connived to tell lies to the Holy Ghost? And then she fell down and died. And they went and buried her with her husband. Somebody said what? They said, Ananias died for telling lies. Sapphira died for coming late. Abi? That if Sapphira had been early, she would have seen her husband die. Say, hey, Pastor Jen Soto. Also, I will tell you the truth. Honestly, I will tell you the truth. Because she would have seen the judgment. Say, hey, is this how it happens? You know, but because she came late, she didn't know. So Ananias died for telling lies. Sapphira died for what? Coming late. Are you still there? Let's look at Psalm 112. Just one or two scriptures. I'm going to stop there. And I'll continue next time talking about how you cultivate the fear of God. How you cultivate the fear of God. There's nothing better that I learned in my walk with God early than the fear of God, that reverence for God. It translates to the worship and how I worship Him. I worship Him the same way in church as I do in private. And I am grateful to God that I learned it early. I told you before that there are things I don't even do, even when I'm alone, because I'm thinking to myself, I'm with God. And it has helped me completely. It has helped to usher in the tangible presence of God with me. Are you still there? So there are blessings that go with it. Psalm 112. Verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Who fears the Lord. Let me repeat it again. That being born again doesn't translate to the fear of God. It's a little degree of it, but it's not exactly the same thing. Because there are people who are born again, but they don't do anything God says. They don't try to conform their lives to God's word. It doesn't mean anything to them. In fact, when you refer to God's word, you say, well, that's in church. You know, why are you talking, telling me what Bible said? You know, this is real life now. I have to navigate it anyhow I can navigate it. If I have to tell lie, I tell lie. If I have to sleep with somebody, I sleep with somebody. If I have to, you know, whatever I need to do, I do it. This is real life. Then we go back to church. God will forgive us. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. You know, delights greatly. So the fear of the Lord translates to a delight. There's something about God's word that just, it's your delight. You like it. You love it. You can't do without God's word. You know, years ago when I was, I was in the university. And I was courting my wife. She went and spoke to her sister. You know, there's this person that was trying to date her. There's this person. And then she also talked about me. You know, and then somewhere along the line, I was asking her out, and then she was asking her sister's advice. You know, I mean, there were other people. And her sister said, you know, what of that one, the one you talked about? I said, even his joke is scripture. Even when he's joking, we cracking scripture as joke. You know, it's scripture, everything is scripture, everything is scripture. He said, yes, that's the one. That's the real one. He said, because that one knows God, that everything about that one is scripture. That's the one I think you should go for. Are you with me? And I mean, when I say that, don't mistake it. When people stand and they are cracking you about Holy Ghost and about tongues, I don't find it funny. Because I say to myself, you don't know who you are talking about. That's why you are doing that. You don't know who you are talking about. So when I crack the joke, it's not in that way that you see comedian on stage and they start using tongues as joke. I don't find that funny. I was at a meeting years ago, and I was ministering, and the Holy Ghost was moving. I mean, we're talking about an awesome personality. Are you with me? When we talk about God, God is amazing. God is awesome. God is real. You know, and I was ministering, and the Holy Ghost was moving. And for almost 4 or 5 hours, we just had a move of the Holy Ghost. And then I looked at the time, it was almost midnight. So I said to the pastor, I said, I need to stop. You know, so I gave him the mic, went to sit down. And then some people came to call me and said, come. There's this lady, she's stuck. Her leg. So I went, I looked at her. I said, what's wrong with her leg? They said, she can't move. And they were pulling her. They couldn't pull her off one spot. You know, she can't move. I said, is something wrong with her leg? Was something wrong when she came today and all that? They said, no. And they were pulling. They couldn't move her. She couldn't lift her leg. They couldn't move her off one spot. So I stopped for a moment and I asked. I said, Holy Ghost, what's going on here? And he said, when the move of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit began, she began to, I don't know, what is that one now? Eh? Disdain, yes, disdain, you know. And she was, what is all this? They have come again. They just push people to fall down. They just, she was began to yimu. And so God glued her to the floor. So she was there, closing her eyes, and praying, and praying, and praying. So I said, sister, wait, look at me. So she looked at me. I said, when this manifestations of the Spirit began, you said to yourself, what is all this now? I said, you remember Vishal? She said, no. I said, so you said to yourself, what is all this? What is all this falling down, and what's going on? She just, tears began to drop from her face, and she nodded. She said, yes. I said, that's why God stuck you to the floor. He wanted to show you that this is no joke. So all I prayed was, Holy Ghost, please release her now. And she began to move. The people screamed, yay! That's a real person. Are you there? I mean, when we're on 100 level, we're in a meeting, and we're at such manifestations. And one of my good friends, I was in ministry. One of my good friends was at the back of the room. I was in ministry. Somebody else was ministering. And God opened his mouth like this and kept it open. Because it felt, what is all this thing? I don't know. What is all this thing they are doing here? So God just opened the mouth. And he stayed like that. for a while, till after the meeting, he couldn't close his mouth. God said he will show us what? Signs and wonders. Those are signs and wonders. Amen. I mean, miracles is to talk, but signs and wonders are just things that make you wonder. Say, hey, what to lele you? Hallelujah. But why am I saying that? It's because there's a real God that we need to reverence. Can I have an amen? We don't joke with the things of God. So it says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. These are blessings that come with this. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I want you to see that all of these blessings are built upon the foundation of the fear of God. That's what I want you to see. That they are blessings that accompany the fear of God. The fact that you fear God, certain things will happen for you. And when it looks like those things are not happening, you can stand on these scriptures and say, God, I can't fear you for nothing. Huh? You remember Job chapter 1? That's what happened. The devil went to God and he said, look, and he was talking to God, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? God was bragging. He said, there's none like him in all the earth. That guy is amazing. Blameless and upright. And the devil said, does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? Have you not made a hedge around his household? Have you not made a hedge around all that concerns him? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions increase in the land. What was the devil telling God? He was saying there are blessings that follow the fear of God. He said, so when you are bragging and saying, hey, have you seen that Job is living right and all that? He said, but you are blessing him. He doesn't fear you for nothing. Look at somebody say, you can't fear God for nothing. The fact that you have chosen to live your life in line with the will of God is not for nothing. Don't take it for granted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, there are things that would have killed other people if they happened to them like it happened to you. But you didn't die because the fear of the Lord brought the blessing of protection upon your life. Are you with me? There are things that just come with it that God says to himself, no, this one can't go because I don't have too many people who fear me, who live their lives like this, who have chosen to live their lives in the fear of God. So this one, I have to do my best to keep him. You know that scripture that says precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. You know that scripture? You know what that word precious means? It means costly. Costly. So when the saint dies, God is thinking, that's a costly loss. Very expensive loss. I can't afford that. I can't afford to have lost that guy. I can't afford to have lost that lady. I can't afford to have lost that girl. That was a good person who feared me. It's costly to God. So that fear of God preserves. Are you still there? So not just I'm born again, but I wake up and I fear God. And when they say, let's do this, I say, I fear God. I mean, when they looked at it and the woman was beginning to tempt Joseph, Joseph said, look, I fear God. I can't commit this sin against God. He didn't say just man. He said God. God, I can't do this thing against God. Are you hearing me? I told my wife, I said, the reason why I won't cheat is not because of you. It's because of God. I fear God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm afraid of God because God is real. Look, when people say, no, you have to watch your husband. You have to watch where you go. You have to watch your wife. How many watching can you watch? Eh? How many can you watch? Where can you be? Say, I'm tracking his phone. I lie. You can put that one down, change the sim to another one. I tell people, if you are looking for who to marry, look for who fears God. Look for who has the reverence of God. Don't tell me that he's born again. That's not good enough. Tell me that he fears God. He's born again and he fears God. Please, let me tell your neighbor. Say, the fear of God has benefits. Tell somebody else. Say, you don't fear God for nothing. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 and we'll close it there. Or let's read Psalm 128 first and then we'll look at Acts 9 and we'll stop there for today. Are you getting anything this morning? Psalm 128 from verse 1. It said, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Again, I want you to see the foundation of the blessings. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, so these are the things that will happen. You shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like holy plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I don't have time to unpack this. If I unpack this scripture alone, there are certain scriptures that I read virtually every day. I confess them every day. This is one of them. If I unpack this scripture alone, we'll spend the whole day just looking at this one scripture. But what I want you to see is that it's built upon the fear of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Okay, Acts chapter 9. Just an example. Somebody, Acts chapter 9, let's see what happens. Acts chapter 9. So when we begin to bring back the fear of the Lord in the church, we will experience God's best. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It said, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. God's blessings come upon the churches when the fear of God is in the churches. Are you with me? You know, even just this morning, you can stand on your feet. Even this morning, as we started off with the worship, and then they were coming and putting on the AC and closing the doors, I said to Brother Dick, and I said, please tell them not to do this again. Tell them to do it before the worship starts. Because the movement, we had so many people moving and closing this. I said, it's distracting. Why? Because we need to reverence God. We need to be, even they need to have been focused and lifting their hands. So 5 minutes before we do that, let's close the doors. Let's do it. Let's begin to create an environment of reverence. And let's see what God will do. When we are praying, let's see. How does the reverence of God make you behave when it's prayer time? Or at that time, you are still replying text messages. You are still making calls. You are still checking Facebook and say it's just Bible school or it's just prayer. You know, years ago, I was telling you that story before, and I stopped. I went to a meeting. So it's not because I'm running the service or anything. No, I was going to a meeting and at Fountain of Life Church. And my friend is one of the pastors. So he knew, and I said, oh, I'm going to come on this day because I wanted to hear my pastor was preaching there. And I said, I'm going to come on that day because I want to be in that meeting. And he didn't tell me, but apparently he was organizing that he would get me to sit in front with the ministers and all of that. But as soon as I got to the door, I switched off my phone. Because at that time, this is God's time. I switched off my phone. So he called. He called me. Then tried to call me. He couldn't reach me. Of course, he didn't know which door I would enter by, blah, blah, blah. But he knew that if I said I would come, I would be there. You know. So he tried to call me. He couldn't get me. And then he called my wife. And he said, look, this guy told me he was coming for this service. But I can't, I mean, I don't see him. I don't know where he's seated, and I can't get him. I'm trying to call him, I can't get him. So my wife said, oh, when you called him, what happened? He said, the phone was switched off. He said, that means it's in that service. He said, if that phone is switched off, it means it's in that service. That's why you can't get him on the phone, because his phone will be off. It's not reachable. Are you still there, anybody? Let's bring back the fear of the Lord. Take a moment and just talk to God this morning.
Awesome God, how great thou art, you are.
So I know that's you. There's a second person you were crying in the night. That's almost through the night and asking God, how long before my change comes? You've been trusting God, things will change, things will improve, but you were crying this night and saying, Lord, how long more? If I see you, I'm talking to you. Just lift your hand, let me see you. See that hand, thank you. The ringing in the ear as well. Even if you're online, God's power will reach you there. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Did you raise your hand, Brother Sunday? No. Your hand wasn't up. Thank you for reaching out to those people. Thank you for extending your mercy, your love, your kindness towards them. Thank you for reassurance. Thank you for hope. Thank you for strengthening by your spirit in the inside. Thank you for that which only you can do. Thank you. Is anybody else sick here? You need a healing. Just put your hand where that is. And just let God touch you right where you are. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you because your power comes upon them. From the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And I command every sickness, every disease to go by the power of God even now. Yeah, that's that power coming strong upon you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Make them every bit whole. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. By the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And even those online, thank you because your power is upon them. Even right there. Makes them whole. Someone's heartburn just got healed. Heartburn just got healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. If you're here, you need to make peace with God. Please do so now. You need to give your life to Christ, or you need to rededicate your life. Do so now. And as a matter of fact, I want everyone to rededicate their lives to Christ and say that, Lord, now I hear you. I'm going to build a reverence for God. Not just in church, but everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I am. I'm going to just cultivate that. We'll talk about that more. But I'm going to just cultivate that. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself so real to us. So real to us. So real to us. In the name of Jesus.